This morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the story of the Good Samaritan. And I just want you to know, I'm not a big news fan. I've not been a big news fan since probably 1980. I just pretty much stopped watching the news back then. Perhaps you've noticed that most news is negative news. And that's the reason I stopped watching the news that far back. I'm not saying that I never watch it, but very, very seldom will I ever be turn on the news to watch the news. Out of a 30-minute news segment, it was discovered that there was normally no more than 30 seconds of positive news. So you're filling your heads and stuff with negative, all negative stuff. Now, in the winter days, when days are short, like they're coming upon now, when I'm home, Pam and I will sometimes sit down together and watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy at 7. They come on at 7 o'clock, and so we get to watch those, or we try to sit down and watch those together and spend a few minutes together in the evenings when I'm home. But if I get in the living room a few minutes early, I'll turn the TV on, and of course the national news is usually going off. And perhaps you've seen, I think at least two of the stations do it. They save the last story, the last minute and a half or so story of the national news, and those newscasts are saved for a segment of good feeling, or probably, I guess after just destroying your whole day with all this terrible bad news, they want to try to build you up before they sign off the air that last minute or minute and a half there, so they have a positive feeling story there, and I particularly like those stories, the ones that someone helping a stranger. Or helping a people group, helping a group of people from somewhere. Especially if that story is about a common person helping. A common person reaching, giving out of their abundance to make sure that someone is cared for, taken care of. I think there's just something about those stories that make you feel good, right? It does me, anyway. And when you hear or you read of someone doing a good deed for a stranger, what feelings flow through you? Think about that for a second. When you hear of someone doing a good deed, or you see one of those stories of someone doing something good for somebody else, what thoughts flow through you? I want you to turn around to someone behind you or someone in front of you. I don't want you to tell those people. The reason I do that is because I don't want husband and wife to say, oh, I don't know, I don't have anything. I want you to turn around and talk to somebody else and just share with them what kind of feelings come to your mind when you hear a good, positive story of someone helping someone else out. Go. Some of you have to turn your necks. Okay, let's not get too carried away. Our scripture passage this morning is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you want to turn there in your Bible, Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25, this is how it reads in the ESV version. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he, being Jesus, said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And the man answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he, Jesus, said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, the man desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus replied with this story. He said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, the man being beaten, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, which was a church leader, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil on and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Jesus goes on and says, which of the three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the man said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, and we know this story. Many of us have heard this story and read this story and heard this story taught and preached before us before. But Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, will right now take hold of our hearts and our minds and teach us even new lessons that we can learn that we need to apply in our life throughout this coming week and this next year and the rest of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look at this and as I read this, I think about it, you know, I look at it and I see that there are many, but I want us to look at 3 life lessons from this passage today. Now, we know that one of the main things that we're always taught is that who is our neighbor is what the main teaching's here. But there's several other life lessons here, and I want us to look at 3, and they're all 3 interconnected. The first point is of our message today, and the first lesson for us to learn is that God provides unexpected opportunities. God provides unexpected opportunities. Now, in this passage, Jesus tells a story of one person. One person reaching out to assist another person, and this is a total stranger. And more than reaching out to this man, the Samaritan goes the extra mile, you might say, to help him. Before the Samaritan arrived, the same opportunity had been given to 2 other men, 2 men who were leaders in the church. Both these men were expected to be compassionate, but they did not stop and help. In fact, they both detoured to the other side of the road to go around this man who was fallen, who had been beaten and left for dead. These 2 men, they realized that if they went close to him or if they touched him, that they would be what was considered unclean in Jewish law, and they would have to stay away from the temple, stay away from church opportunities, stay away from all church activities for a period of time, and then go and have to get out of their own stock or pay for a sacrificial animal to go have a sacrifice made. And they didn't want to do that. And so they detoured, left this man laying there on the side of the road. You see, their religious ritual was more important to them than being humane to another person. Humane to another person. Each of these 3 men had the same opportunity. In our lives, God brings opportunities. Opportunities that we are not expecting. Opportunities to serve and to bless someone else. Are you aware? Are you alert to these? How alert are you to these opportunities that God brings into your life week after week? I mean, what would you do if you saw someone in the condition of this beaten man on the side of the road? Now, I'm not suggesting that just because someone's laying on the beaten side, you have to stop and help them, but wouldn't we want to stop and at least make a phone call to 911, get someone else out there, especially ladies traveling alone? I wouldn't expect you to necessarily. You might, but I would not expect that. But are you aware? What would you do if you saw something like this, if you saw someone laying on the side of the road, you wasn't sure what their condition was? Now, it may not be this extreme, but we all need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit's leading in each day for the opportunities that we see around us. What are those opportunities? When do they happen? What are they? I'm reminded of the story of a man who going home late at night after dark from work, and he stopped by the grocery store to pick up a couple items that they need, and he said, I picked up a gallon of milk, and I had no idea why. It wasn't on my list. I didn't know why, but I just felt compelled to get a gallon of milk, so he got a gallon of milk. He got in his car after he paid for his groceries, and he drove off, and the Holy Spirit told him to turn down this street. He said, that's not the way home. The Holy Spirit said, turn down this street. He said, so I turned down that street. He said, the Holy Spirit said, stop. I got halfway down the street. The Holy Spirit said, stop in front of this house. He said, but God, I don't know anybody lives on this street. He said, stop in front of this house. So he got out, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to take that gallon of milk, take it up to the door, give it to the woman in the house. He said, I did it because I felt the Holy Spirit compelled me to do it. He said, but I was really kind of embarrassed because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know these people. I didn't know what I'd be met with. But he said, I knocked on the door. Lady answered the door, and I said, ma'am, I have no idea why, but I'm supposed to give you this gallon of milk. And she just started crying. She said, I just finished praying, God, help me. Even if I just had a gallon of milk, so my babies will have something before they go to school in the morning. God provides opportunities for every one of us. He gives us opportunities each day to serve Him by serving others. And the choice you take on each opportunity is up to you. The choice that I take, those opportunities, those times when God is compelling us to do something and we do or do not do it, the choice is up to me. The choice is up to you. You see, God provides opportunities. He provides opportunities to each one of us. But will you be like the church people in our story here in Scripture? The church people that say, nope, not going to do that. Afraid of what might happen. That's going on. Or will you be like the Samaritan? Will you be like the person, this Samaritan, who's a foreigner? Remember, Jews look down on Samaritans. And so the Samaritan could say, he's a Jew. Why would I have anything to do with him? But he didn't do that. He took care of one who was one who might have looked down on him in the past. God provides opportunities, unexpected opportunities. Our second point this morning is that God expects us to use his resources. Notice I said God expects us to use his resources. And I say it that way because do you realize that everything you own is not yours? It's God's. God has just loaned it to you. Your house, your car, your family, the clothes that you wear, the lawnmower that's in your garage or in your shop. It's all God's. It all belongs to God. But God expects us to use His resources that He has loaned to us for this period of time. Do you realize that God owns everything? Every resource is just on loan to you. Folks, when these situations arise, when these opportunities come in our lives, God expects us to take the resources that He has already provided for us and use those resources to bless someone else. Take note here. The Samaritan used the bandages and oil that he had at his disposal, which he packed not for someone else. He's using these resources that he packed for his own travel, for his own expense and use while he was on this trip. It wasn't for a wounded foreigner because he didn't know this was going to happen. This was an unexpected opportunity. But he had to reach, you might say, into his own suitcase and perhaps pull out the shirt that he was going to wear the next day and tear it into strips. Tear up one of his own shirts, one of his own pieces of clothing, into strips of cloth to clean and bandage the wounds of this man, this total stranger. He's using what was his. Now, how many of you, I'm going to really pick on you here today on this one. How many of you, when you pack for a vacation, you pack an extra set of clothing or an extra pair of shoes? Or women pack maybe an extra six pair of shoes. Have you ever considered giving any of those extra clothing or those shoes to a stranger? Someone in need while you're on your trip? You see, this is what the Samaritan did. Not only did he give it to him, he tore his shirt up or his piece of clothing up. He was not a medic. He did not have a first aid kit. He used what he had packed for himself. Instead of medicine, people used oil for healing of wounds and cuts, treating cuts and wounds and bruises. And this oil was not intended for that. More than likely, this oil he had with him because he was going to use that at the end of the day to prepare a cake of bread for him to eat. That's what they would do. They would travel at the end of the day. They would sit down, build a fire, and put a hot rock, get a rock real hot on it, and they would take some flour and oil and make a patty of cake and put it on that and cook it on that rock. And so this oil was to be what helped him prepare what he was to eat while he was on his trip. But he used that oil for medicinal purposes for this man who was in need. He did not hesitate to shred his own clothing. He did not hesitate to use the oil and the scripture says his wine, what he would be drinking to keep him from getting thirsty. He did not hesitate to use these things and forego eating to help this foreigner who was in trouble. The Samaritan then takes this man to a hotel, pays for his room, took care of him overnight, and then the next morning he gave the innkeeper enough money to care for him for several days. And he told the innkeeper, he said, when I return, I will pay for anything more that you have to spend on him, on his care. In other words, the Samaritan is telling the innkeeper, I do not expect you to be out anything. I do not expect you to be out one penny. I do not expect you to be out anything, money, food, bed expenses, medical supplies, anything for this man. I will take care of every expense for this wounded man's care, even though he is a foreigner to me. What a witness. What a witness to have this, to someone to have that kind of mindset to do that. This Samaritan thought he was packing for himself. He thought he was packing for his trip for himself, but God had him pack for other needs that he did not know of. Someone God would put in his path. A wounded man, a stranger, a foreigner, a man beaten and left for dead. You and I live in a land of plenty. We have more than any one of us needs. We have more clothes than we need. We have more of anything. Probably most of us have more groceries than we need in our pantries or in our cabinets, refrigerators. We have more than we need. We live in a land of plenty, yet we want more. We live trying to get more, and we don't want to give ours away to somebody else. But that's mine. I've worked for that. Let's help him find it from somewhere else instead of me helping him out. We don't want to give what's ours away, even when God provides these opportunities. And we know when God provides an opportunity, he's going to bless us far greater than what he's asking us to give of our own keeping. So perhaps we've got it all wrong. God has allowed us to live in excess so that we can bless others. So that we can help us, so that we can give to others. Because like I said, we know that it doesn't mean that if I give my shirt away, I'm going to get two shirts back. God's going to bless me that way. But he's going to bless me in ways that I'm not expecting. And what I'm sharing here too today, I'm not telling you that you need to help every panhandler and beggar that comes along. But we are to use discretion and be prepared to use God's plentiful resources to help others as he provides that opportunity. Those who truly need our help. When God places someone in your life, a person with a need, God has given you abundance of whatever it is so that you can share, so that you can help. This week, perhaps you are the one God's calling on or will be calling on this week to use your resources, his resources that he's endowed to you, to meet the needs of a stranger. This week, you could be given a Samaritan experience. What will you do with it? You see, God expects you to use his resources in the opportunities that he will provide this week. Oftentimes, we may give out of our abundance, but we don't give sacrificially like this man in this story had given. The resources, our third point this morning is the resources used were in excess to his needs. The resources used in taking care of this foreigner did not hinder the Samaritan from his task. He still went on his journey. And we're led to believe that there was no issue there. He still had enough oil or he had money or had something. He got along fine without that extras that he had thought he was providing, taking along for the trip for himself. But again, how many of us would have left this man on the street rather than paying his bill? Again, I'm not telling you have to go out and pay somebody's hotel bill. But how many of us would have left this man on the street? Said, I've done, all I can. I called somebody. That was it. This man, this Samaritan, shelled out money to the innkeeper for the stranger's care. And then he went on his way. He had brought enough money for what he thought was for his needs. See, when we pack for a vacation, we don't usually empty our bank accounts and take everything we've got with us, right? We just take what we think we're going to need for the trip. That's what he had done. He had taken what he thought he needed for the trip for himself. He had brought enough money for what he thought was for his needs. He did not know this little detour was going to happen. And yet he still had all that he needed to continue on his own journey. A little bit different story, but in my early 20s, I had gotten out of church for a while, and I had was in sales. I had told you some of that story before. I was selling vacuum cleaners, and And I was doing pretty good. In fact, I was doing good enough that they asked me to go to Nashville, take over and run a store down there. Just I would be the owner of that store down there. And I went down there and did that. Was doing pretty good for a while. And then I was getting burnt out on sales. And I wasn't doing so great. And I decided, I'd gotten out of church. And I knew that, you know, that was one of the thoughts went through my mind is that day I actually went to a church there just right down the street from where my apartment was and not far from where the office was. And I went to that street and was sitting there. I'm thinking, you know, when was the happiest times of my life? I was about 21, 22 years old. The happiest time of my life was when I was in church and the memories that I had at church, like in the children's choirs and the youth choirs and stuff. And so I decided to go to church, and I went, and I was sitting there in that church that day, sitting there listening and just listening to the service, being part of the service, and the offering plate came around. I pulled out my wallet, knowing that I'd been taught to tithe, and I knew how to tithe and that, but I hadn't done it for several years. And I opened my wallet up, and I had a $5 bill and a $20 bill. That's all I had. Wouldn't get another check until next Friday. Now, I was the owner, so I could have went in and asked, but I don't do that, would not do that, knew that that wouldn't be right, to go in and ask for an advance or have them cut me a check in advance. I didn't do that. I knew I had a $20 bill and a $5 bill, and I had to live for the next week, so I put my hand on that $5 bill. It's not what God wanted, so I had to let go of that $5 bill and pull that $20 bill out, and I put that $20 bill in the offering plate, leaving me $5 to eat on, live on, to drive, gas, to go to visits and in homes and stuff all week. Never ran out of gas. Didn't go hungry. God provided. But I had to give up what I thought I needed to live on that week. How many times do we pass up the opportunity to help someone else because we've packed for our own pleasure? Because we want to hang on to what we have because God gave me this, so he wants me to hang on to this, and I don't have that to give to that person. How many times do we hang on to it? We pass up the opportunity that God provides for us because we're afraid of not being able to provide our own good time later this week or later on our trip. The Samaritan packed for himself. He packed what he thought he needed for his own desires for this trip. But he willingly used his possessions for the good of a stranger. And he did not lack anything in providing for his own needs on that trip. Now, Jesus used this story to demonstrate who is our neighbor, which is meaning everybody, even the stranger, even the foreigner among us. But like all of Scripture, God has filled it with overflowing with different lessons for you and me today. And here's just three of them that we've looked at today. God provides unexpected opportunities for you to serve him by serving others. We just have to be ready and watchful of what those things are. God provides unexpected opportunities. The second lesson was God expects us to use his resources. He's given it to us for a reason, not for our own pleasure, but to help propel his kingdom forward. And so that we will be blessed by using what he has given us in the way that he wants it to be used. And then the third lesson was these resources will be in excess of what you need. I heard the story of a mother and her son. I think it was Peru or Ecuador. I think it was Peru. But from the United States down there, and she was driving in her SUV with her son, 5-year-old son, in South America, the South American country. The woman's husband was on assignment there for his business, the company that he worked for. And she was driving her 5-year-old son to a toy store on the other side of town. And he wanted to go to that particular store because they had this one particular superhero action figure that he wanted. And he had been saving his money for several months to have enough money to buy this superhero action figure. It was not easy for a 5-year-old boy to save his money all that time and not buy all the candy or whatever other little things that he wanted. But he saved his money. And so his mom had promised him she would take him to get this superhero action figure because he wanted that thing just as much as any child could want anything. But the mother had stopped at a traffic light. She was always cautious because she had always been told by all the the naturals, the people that live there, and from people from her company, giving her a warning. All the training was, don't let anyone approach you on foot. If you're stopped anywhere, do not let anyone approach you on foot, even if it means gunning it and running through a red light or a stop sign. Do not let anyone approach your car on foot. So the mother stopped. She was cautious as always, looking around her, and she knew that you did not let anyone approach your car on foot. But when she stopped, she noticed on the side of the street, across the street, there was a young, small boy about her son's age. And he was staring at the back window of her SUV, the very window where her son was sitting. She looked back in the rearview mirror, I suppose, and saw her son was also staring at the boy on the curb. The eyes of these two boys were locked on each other. One, a fine-dressed American boy in a nice SUV from the United States. The other, a boy from the streets, hair disheveled, dirty clothes, likely a homeless orphan, as there was hundreds of them on the street of this city. And he was just one of the many. But then she looked back at the boy on the street, but he was no longer on the curb. He was headed directly for the SUV that she was sitting in. So wanting to step on it out of fear and out of what she'd been told to get out of that area, yet having a heartbreaking moment for this young boy, same age as hers, she froze, waiting to see what exchange might take place. And before she knew it, her son had rolled down his window. And when that little boy from the street got close enough, her son reached his hand out the window with his hand cupped. She had no idea what was going on, what was about to take place. But when that other little boy walked up to him, no words were exchanged, but he just held his hands out. And her son opened his hand up and dropped every bit of his money into the hands of that homeless boy. He unclenched his hand and just let it drop. No words were communicated between the two boys, yet the communication was clear. No words were spoken for the next few minutes inside the SUV either, as mom just wondered what just happened as she drove away. Later that morning, when the mom asked her son why he gave all his money to that little boy whom he did not know and he had saved for so long and so hard, after you worked so hard, she said, to save your money for that special toy, why? And her son replied just quickly and simply, "Mom, I knew when I saw him, he needed that money more than I needed a superhero action figure." Now, whether or not this 5-year-old boy had ever heard the story of the Great Samaritan, I don't know. But he understands it. He understands the story of the Good Samaritan. What about you? Do you? Do you really get the story of the Good Samaritan? The sacrifice that was made for a total stranger? If God's called us to do that to a total stranger, what's He called us to do for one another? Are you ready for God's Good Samaritan moment for you? For God's Good Samaritan adventure for you, whatever that might be, whenever that might come? Are you truly ready with open arms and an open heart? Say, I'll give whatever God calls me to give. Stand with me as we enter into our time of response. It's responding to God, what God has been calling and speaking to us about this morning in the message, in the service, with the, listening to the children sing, so many others, and maybe this week, even before you got here. What has God been speaking to you about? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, for this hour, and for this, your word, and perhaps new insights that you give us through your word today and the story of the Good Samaritan. Father, we've learned to give out of our abundance. Thank you that you've given us an abundance to give out of. Father, as you call on us and give us opportunities to share our abundance, may we share freely, willfully, even when we think, but I need that for, Father, if you call on us to give it, you're going to give us much more in return. It may not be material things, but you'll give us the satisfaction of being obedient to you. Father, when you call us to give sacrificially, may we give sacrificially, whatever that is to, whatever that is for, whatever situation that is. And if you call us to do that for our neighbor who's a stranger, what about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Father, for some here today that still hold animosity towards someone else, or they don't see eye to eye with someone else, I pray that they would reach out to that person across the aisles. We need to take care of those relationships, our brothers and sisters, so that we will be open and ready to take care of whoever it is you call us to take care of in our lives this week and the rest of this year and into next year. Father, our goal here is to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross and then He rose again. He died on the cross to take our sins to the grave, and He rose leaving our sins in the grave so that we could have eternal life when this life is over, but also so we could have abundant life here. Not necessarily an easy life, but an abundant life of what You provide for us through our faith in You. By our faith in You. Father, for someone here does not know that, does not understand that, I pray that they would come forward today and ask Johnny or I to talk to us, or someone else who's ready to come and speak with them. Father, I pray that You would help us this morning, each one of us, to examine our own hearts right now and to turn over to You those corners of our lives that we're hanging on to that. You know, God, I'll give You everything except. Show us what those accepts are so that we can say, forgive me, Lord. I'll give that to You too. If You'll call me to obedience and giving it up, I want to give it. Father, whatever it is that You're speaking to us about today, I pray that we'd feel free, and we would even express our freedom by showing others that we're walking forward to say, I've already done this and I'm ready to do this and I'm free. And I'm going to demonstrate that by walking forward and praying at the altar that I would continue to be free, that I would not let the things of this world hold me from serving God in whatever act of obedience He calls me to, whatever opportunities He calls me to share Him, that I would not be fearful. But I'm coming forward asking for prayer for everyone else, from everyone else, that I would be faithful, and praying that I would be faithful and that others would follow suit. Father, whatever it is that You call us to today, that we need to turn over to You or to resign to You or to just say, God, You know I'm Yours. You know I'm here. You know that I've been here for You. And I'm just coming forward to say it again, to come and pray, whatever it is, or to reach out to someone across the aisle and say, I need Your strength and I want Your prayers for my strength. Father, may we be neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ and here so that we can fulfill all those opportunities You bring before us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You respond as God leads you today.